why were these shacks built? What did they mean for the families using them?
Well, there were mostly mining families from Helensburg, which is a little bit above where the shacks now stand. And during the Great Depression, a lot of those miners had no jobs.
Mm.
So they had to feed their families. So they tried to find a way of doing that. And what they did was they went down the hill where, like you said, there was fishing to be done and rabbits to be caught. And they got some, sometimes they planted some vegetables. And a lot of them stayed there in tents originally with their children. I've interviewed a woman, for instance, who was born there.
Wow.
Her parents, her father was a carpenter in the mine, and he lost his job during the Depression, and he and his wife went down the hill, as that is called. And her mother was pregnant with her, and when her mother was about to give birth, she had to walk up the hill, which is a fair way, about 45 minutes. And when you're very pregnant, that would have been a real problem.
Oh, gosh.
And she gave birth on the table at the station master at Lilyville, a very small train station that was still there. And then afterwards, she went with her little baby back down the hill again. And that's where she lived, and that's where two other children were born. So that's sort of how people stayed alive during that time.
Wow, that's amazing. The stories that you must have uncovered in experiencing and writing this book would be incredible. I understand you've got a bit of a family connection to the shacks. What's all that about?
Well, my husband's got a shack there, and my husband's brother, so my brother-in-law has a shack there too. My husband's shack is at Era. There are three areas. It's Era, Burning Palms, and Little Gary.
Mm.
And my brother-in-law has a shack at Burning Palms. So there are all men. Those boys have been there since they were 17, 18
wow.
years old, surfing, and over time they managed to get a shack.
That's fantastic. That's amazing that people are still using the space and that are still using these communities. What inspired you to write Shack Life? What inspired you to put this all into a book?
Well, the government has been, when the shacks started, like you said, during the Depression, this wasn't a Royal National Park. It only became the park after the Second World War. And really since then, successive governments have tried to get rid of the shacks. And what they've done over time, or what they've tried to do, is to use history against the people. They've been trying to say, well, actually, you are here in the national park, although, of course, the shacks were built before it was national park. So history was being abused. And I, as a historian, thought that can't be right, not for the future, because this there will be an arm wrestle about these shacks again in about 10 years. And I love those places and I love that community and I don't want it to be destroyed, and especially not on the back of bad history. So I decided to figure out what really happened. So I went into the archives and I spent about 2 years figuring out what really happened, and the book is the result of that.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. And it's very sad to think that in around 10 years' time, these residents are going to have that fight again and are going to have to go up against the government to keep their homes, essentially.
Absolutely.
And it's
also, they don't only lose the shacks, but they lose their communities as well. And we, as Australia, lose those communities and those shacks because there's hardly any of them left. We should protect them and say, wow, this is fantastic history. Look at them. Look at what we've got.
Absolutely. And you don't want to displace all these people either. Now, I understand that the shack owners also act as kind of conservationists and caretakers of the national park. Is that right?
Absolutely. Well, not just conservationists. They do a lot of land care, but also with the popularity of the figure eight pools, there are a lot of people who come to the national park, to the figure eight pools, and get into trouble because they don't realize how difficult that area is to walk on. So there's a lot of people who slip or who get into trouble in the ocean. and the surf clubs that are there, that are made up of the shack owners, they rescue hundreds of people a year. So without those shack communities and without those surf clubs, a lot of people could get into absolute serious trouble.
It sounds like the most fascinating community, an amazing part of our state's history as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Ingeborg. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. And thank you for telling this story as well.
You're very welcome. Thank you.